Good afternoon, everyone. It's Kentucky Fantasy Football's look at Thursday night action. And when it's Thursday night, there's nothing better to look forward to than a conversation with my dear friend and league member, Sean Ligon. How are you, Cash Money, brother?
No, I'm doing great, Harry.
But I'm doing well. I'm kind of excited to be watching two teams that collectively have a record of 4-10. We thought we would get our stellar running back of fantasy football and everyone's first round first pick, Christian McCaffrey, back tonight. It doesn't look that way. To make it even more difficult on the decision, Carolina is having the same weather in Charlotte that we're having here in Louisville today. Wet and rainy. McCaffrey stays on the sidelines. How often did you have McCaffrey this year, Sean?
I had number one pick zero times. Uh-huh. So, you know, selfishly, I'm hoping that Mike Davis rides it out for as long as possible. I was really hoping Carolina's record would be a little worse by now, so they might consider, you know, just making him a very slow comeback for Christian McCaffrey. But I feel like with Carolina doing well, and they're probably going to win tonight, they probably think they're in this thing, so they probably will bring him back.
Sure.
Sooner than later.
For a season where there were limited expectations from Carolina, we have to tip the cap to them. And I don't know if I personally limited Carolina's upside because, you know, in the division, it's a very, very tough division. But you and I have discussed before what we saw for New Orleans, and I think we've been just about right on that they were going to be up and down and that it might take a while to get Tom Brady moving in Tampa. Now that he is moving, they look like a tough team to catch. But with the expanded NFL playoffs, we will likely see Carolina challenge for one of those spots before it's over. They look to get to 500 tonight, 4 wins and 4 losses, and I think you expect them to do so. And I know for you to admit that, Tug. Because I have never met here in Kentucky a bigger Atlanta Falcons fan than the Sean Ligon. And Sean, what do you want to say? Everything has been said. What do you want to say about the difficulty of the Falcons getting a win this year?
Well, they just invent new ways to blow leads. You know, I mean, even most. You know, the ironic thing about last week is Todd Gurley tries and tries and tries not to fall in the end zone, score a touchdown. But what's really been their Achilles heel over the last 3 years has been their production inside the red zone. Mm-hmm. The one thing they're terrible at is the one thing they could not do last week is score. It's unbelievable. It's just a brand new level of irony that their offense actually scored when they didn't want to score last
week. And it's inexplicable for fantasy football purposes, because why did they suffer in the red zone so much with Julio Jones, a big target? They have a new tight end. Let's take a fantasy look at the numbers. 31 catches this year for Julio Jones, 2 games, 137 and 157. Only 2 touchdowns, Sean. It's the same thing with Julio every year, as you mentioned, with the red zone. The scoring has come all through Calvin Ridley. And I got a feeling that doesn't surprise you. Calvin Ridley with 6 touchdowns already through 7 games, putting him on a mark to be amongst the league leaders in scoring.
No, I was heavily invested in Ridley this year. I really felt like this was the year that not necessarily the team was going to transition more to him, but for the same reasons we've always discussed. Julio puts up huge numbers, doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, and normally Julio has gigantic games. Then he has games where he's either banged up a little bit or they use him as a decoy a little bit. He's very inconsistent. So I really felt like, the Falcons are going to throw the ball a lot. We know that. And I really felt Calvin Ridley would have a very consistent year. He scored more touchdowns than I. But I'm happy for it.
Oh, tremendous 1-2 punch at wide receiver and an added tight end. Everyone talked about, oh, how better Atlanta's going to be at the tight end position with Hayden Hurst. And he's flashed some individual plays. But the tight end seems to be the land of forgotten positions there in Atlanta. In Matt Ryan's case, everyone said to me, "Well, you're going to wait on quarterback. Matt Ryan should be there." And that gives you comfort. You think, "Oh, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, pass catchers out of the backfield, a veteran presence in a division where they score a lot." Matt Ryan has left us with some sub 20 games. I think last week, 22 points. Which is kind of which is kind of like getting drive-through dinner, So what do you think? Are we ever going to see a Matt Ryan conquer the red zone and start putting up some 30-point games?
I mean, every now and then, maybe a couple times a year, but I just don't. I mean, after we've seen it for this long, it just becomes it's on you if you're still expecting him to put up 30-point games.
Yep.
He gets 0 rushing yards. You're never going to get anything out of that. Get 0 rushing touchdowns usually. You're never going to get anything out of that. So you're basically relying on him throwing at least 3 touchdowns a game, or it's going to be an average game
On
for
a
him.
team that struggles in the red zone, Calvin Ridley with 7 TDs, Julio Jones with 2 TDs, Matt Ryan tonight against Carolina, point prediction, Sean.
I especially with the rain and everything like that, somewhere 18 to 21.
So you're looking at a number of quarterbacks that you would start over Matt Ryan. I'll just throw some names out there, guys that in the FFPC I surprisingly saw on the waiver wire. I was a little shocked. Baker Mayfield was one of the players that was dropped. Let's start there. Baker Mayfield over Matt Ryan, is that an easy decision against the Raiders?
Yeah, I think it is,
Flip it
especially
over
with.
and put Brother Carr up against the Cleveland Browns. What do you think about that?
That's a little bit tougher one. Cleveland pass rush is pretty good, and Las Vegas seems to be a little different team on the road.
Sean, am I right about this? Arizona's on bye. Houston is on bye.
Right.
You can players. I doubt if many players are relying on Tua as a starting quarterback. So Fitz was a plug and play guy for some people. Garoppolo is not attractive as a start. So some people are looking at the side of the ball with Carolina and saying, "Hey, what about Teddy Bridgewater?" Bridgewater is completing over 70% of his passes, which I think is a very important number. He has gone from being a steady Eddie to some games where he is actually dynamic in the passing game, and he has, despite his resume of injuries, he has looked good when he's had to be mobile. Teddy Bridgewater, Sean, a start over Matt Ryan tonight?
Yes, because you get to play against the Falcons defense. Of
Oh,
course.
man.
It's such a great match.
I'm glad you brought it up because I just didn't want to keep banging on you. But man, oh man, what in the world is going on the defensive side of the ball for the Falcons?
Well, again, it's so frustrating being a Falcons fan the last couple of years because you supposedly have Dan Quinn's who, made his reputation as a defensive coach. And honestly, the defense has been a complete disaster since he's been there. They've always been able to rush the passer, but that's it. No secondary ever. I know they've had a lot of injuries, but you just can't keep saying that year after year after year. Sooner or later, somebody's got to be held accountable. Finally, he was. So that's all I can hope for. Get through the rest of this year and let's start over.
That's what happened, and he took the general manager out the door with him. So
Sure.
let's look at the receiver core from Carolina. If you've listened to any of our podcasts this year, you know that I have broken my arm patting myself on the back for taking Robbie Anderson in every draft in the 15th and 16th round.
That's
You were
good.
not a believer. I was a believer, but I didn't expect this. I had Robbie Anderson totaled for about 75 catches and 5 touchdowns, and I thought he would be a certain week-to-week play. Right now, we have 4 games of Robbie Anderson over 100 yards. We have 46 total catches, so he would lead both the Atlanta receivers on total catches. Where he falls short is Robbie Anderson is not scoring the ball either. Can he get past this Atlanta secondary and get into the end zone tonight?
I mean, if he's going to do it, this is probably the week. There's two teams, you really want to target for those big plays, and Atlanta's definitely one of them. Seattle being the other. Yeah, no, I think it's a good chance. The reason I didn't believe in him so much is I thought, our other guy we're probably going to talk about here is DJ Moore. And he's really kind of taken away that number one spot that DJ Moore had.
DJ Moore, 31 catches and 3 TDs this year. I think there's a great tandem at wide receiver. DJ has been hot lately. And as you begin to roll safeties, especially as you're playing these zone coverage teams, both these players can catch the ball in space. So that presents DJ Moore with great opportunities because once you gather the ball in your hands, he is a more explosive player. When you talk about an explosive player, you didn't hear much about him at this year's draft. People were tired of talking about it. Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel, the Brooklyn baller right out of New York City. Curtis Samuel had a big game this past week. And I have always thought that this player has the skill set, given an opportunity to play with a very, very accurate quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. Samuel ought to continue to be a plug and play guy. It'll be real interesting to watch how they use him tonight. Now, everyone will say, when McCaffrey comes back, you'll get less Samuel. But let me tell you, Anderson, Moore, Samuel, McCaffrey, contributions from Mike Davis. Now you've got players that you can begin to compete with the New Orleans of the division, that you can begin to compete with Tampa in the division. This team looks away from the tight end position, which I think is always dangerous as you try to advance through the league. Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore rostered on any of your teams, Sean? Are they in any of your lineups this weekend?
Yes, they definitely are. I definitely have DJ Moore a few places. I wish I had him more. I still like the player a lot. He has had a bit of a disappointing year so far, but like you say, he's been getting hot lately. Seems to be finally more involved in the offense. And I do have Curtis Samuel some. He was very hot coming into last year's proceedings, if you remember. He was one of the hot players. And you're right, people did kind of forget about this guy. He is a good football player. It definitely has probably helped McCaffrey being out a little bit because he's actually gotten some backfield touches, got some receptions coming out of the backfield. So that maybe some of that goes away, but he is still a good football player. And I think, again, if you're going to use him, this is a week to use him against Atlanta.
Is how true it is. While Atlanta's defensive woes has continued, Carolina's have become more impressive. I see them used very, very sparingly as a defense in the KFFSC, which makes sense since they're in the division with Tampa and New Orleans. But there are certain matchups going forward that the Carolina defense would look like a very good add. I'll bring the attention to number 24 and a shout out to Brandon Hakey, an alumnus of Southern Illinois University Salukis, is Jeremy Chinn, a player from Indianapolis, Indiana, who was 5'6" and 100 and nothing pounds coming out of college. The Salukis were the only one that would give him an opportunity to come play football, and that was at a running back. He physically matured and became one of the better players in all of college football, second round draft pick at Carolina. Number 24, keep a look at. I know him very, very well. I recruited him, lost out to fellow agent Buddy Baker, who had the advantage, Sean, of being from Jeremy's hometown. But Jeremy Chinn is a pleasure to watch. Keep an eye on him on the defensive side of the ball, number 24 for Carolina. We don't talk about kickers a lot, Sean, but Joey Sly, have you noticed something about Joey Sly? The new coach of Carolina. Sean, I'm blanking on his name. What's the head coach's name?
Matt Rhule.
Then Matt Rhule, thank you very much. Matt Rhule does not hesitate to run out Joey Sly for a 50-yard field goal. And this just makes me very, very happy to see that.
Or even 65 last week, right?
And it was close. It needed a couple more yards. Sean, everybody wants to know, before we put this Thursday night game to bed, everybody wants to know your take on some of the news around the league. Everybody in the world has had something to say about Antonio Brown. I can't imagine that we have anything new to say about it. I will say my thoughts are that he doesn't change a lot for Tampa. That puts me in the minority. Everybody thinks Antonio Brown's going to come in and be a big difference maker. I don't see it. Your appearances, your opinion, Sean.
Yeah, the only thing that troubles me a little bit is, I'm a pretty heavy Chris Godwin owner, which
Yep.
hasn't gone particularly well this year anyway. And I just can't see where this helps Godwin for sure. I mean, it's another, and Brady has such a close relationship with Brown. Brady's going to give him the opportunity.
This proves it.
I'm with you. I don't think it makes a gigantic difference, especially in the overall team. I don't think it makes them that much better. But I could see it having some impact more on Godwin than it does on Evans,
I think
personally.
we're seeing something about fantasy football related to when you have a quarterback that can throw to nine receivers, or nine
Yeah.
pass catchers. We talked about how Belichick's system presented many, many players, many, many offensive skill players. What we might understand about it is that when you have a great quarterback, he is going to utilize the entire team. So sometimes you have Scotty Miller, six catches, 100 yards, and touchdown. And sometimes you have Scotty Miller for 2 weeks of nothingness. And we saw the same things when we were at New England. This past weekend, we saw a Pittsburgh Steelers Tennessee game where Ben Roethlisberger hit multiple receivers. The successful games for everyone, with the exception of Claypool. And someone called me and said, "What is going on with Claypool?" I said, "Well, if you're watching the game, you could see where they had this player. They're playing zone everywhere, but they're playing man and bracketed defense on Claypool, and everyone else's ship. The water raised everyone else's ship as Schuster and Washington and Deontay Johnson had big, big games, and that's going to happen around the league. So just continue to pay your play your best players, and don't go chasing points, I guess would be the message for me, Sean. We got a lot of good players here to play tonight. It seems like everyone we talked about, with the exception of Hayden Hurst, you can put in your lineup with Curtis Samuel being an excellent flex and third wide receiver, especially if you're looking for a touchdown and want to gamble on a big bump. Anything else you want to say about this weekend before we get to you again on Monday night?
No, it should be another good weekend. I mean, we're getting down to crunch time here, so I know these games are getting to be important for everybody. So just enjoy them, and everybody keep fighting for the playoffs, I suppose.
Your best team, Sean, where do you stand, and what do you think about your future for this year with that team?
The best teams that I have all have a heavy Arizona Cardinal flavor to them. I have
Yeah.
the teams that I'm doing well with all have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins on them. So it's going to be potentially a tough week for me, the bye week's there. So I'm going to have to get creative this week. I'm going to have to, make some plays on the waiver wire. Going to play some guys on the bench that haven't been playing, like Brandon Ayuk, and probably playing Mr. Jefferson from Minnesota this week. Hopefully they're going to come up big for me. So that'll be nice.
I think you will enjoy having Mr. Jefferson in your lineup as he plays against the Packers. And, maybe Debo Samuel stock going down, Curtis Samuel stock going up. Brandon Ayuk, certainly a major play for the 49ers. We'll get more into that in our late night after the Thursday night game visit with Robbie Fetcher. Sean, thanks for getting us in place. I'll check in with you briefly after the game to make sure you are okay. Last week on the Rams and the Bears, Sean went Bears, I went Rams. I will not be gloating for that. And Sean, go ahead and make your pick tonight. Carolina installed as a small favorite, which I find a little surprising. I thought they'd be a little bigger favorite than what they are. Your prediction for tonight's contest.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that line too, which scares me a little bit because the guys in the desert are not wrong very often. But I think you have to go with Carolina here. Atlanta probably. Here's what I say: if you could bet Atlanta first quarter all year, you'd probably be fine. They seem to run out to have very good openings and very, very bad endings. But I would take Carolina overall, and sadly, my Falcons will drop another one.
Sean and I are in agreement. I see the Carolina Panthers scoring early and often. Atlanta just cannot overcome the pall of this season. And if Carolina does score early, Sean, it'll be really good for all the fantasy players, especially those with Jones and Ridley. Seems like Ridley will do well in any game script, but I see the game tonight being controlled by Carolina pretty much throughout the game. It's going to be a good one to watch. It's going to be a very important game for fantasy purposes. Thanks for coming in, and I guess I'll leave you with this. We used to be hesitant to start Thursday night players, Sean, because of the way the game
Right.
scripts might run. There's no hesitancy here, is there?
No. It doesn't seem like that's been the narrative at all this year anyway. Seems like it's just been another game. There hasn't been that, you know, super boring Thursday night low-scoring games anymore.
The players, I think, are getting a little charged up for it, too. Everyone's so anxious to be back to football, and the players realize that this is an opportunity for them to play before a primetime audience. The players look forward to this Thursday night game. They also look forward to a couple of days off afterwards.
Yeah.
And so,
right.
You know, it's good. Buddy, I appreciate it so much. We'll talk over the weekend, and we'll be back on Monday to preview our last game of our Week 8 on Monday night, which is the Tampa Bay Bucks and the New York Giants. Do your homework, and we can try to find a Giant worth starting.
Yeah.
You come into Monday night.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
See you later.